Helaman chapter 3. Several years passed in peace, and except for, it says, a little pride that entered in the church. And the important thing to note by it mentioning this is that they recognized that pride is the problems that causes the real downfall of the Lord's people. And so it is aware, and the men keeping the records were ever watchful for pride. And again, we have to ask ourselves today, are we caring about pride? Do we discuss pride in the church, and do we worry about what it is and how it enters? And obviously the answer to that is no. Well, then, due to these little contentions, they grow throughout the land, and people decide to move north and make new settlements. And I note here again, though, that the government nor the church tries to control these people. You have the free right to go wherever you want. And we don't say, oh, that it was a worldwide church, and so therefore it had the right to go anywhere and tell everybody else what they were to do and how they were to organize and so on and so forth. Instead, you went and you formed your own church. I'm sure that men were sent with you that had the authority to do that, that had been given them the authority from Helaman. But nonetheless, we don't send out this tremendous control structure. Well, then in verses 12 through 18, we find that they were having many wars and contentions among the Nephites themselves. So, again, problems of this sort now always occur amongst the people of the Lord. And why is this? Because the devil is always stirring people up. And I would say that if you are not experiencing wars and contentions amongst you and around you and at you, then you are not following the Lord, or that the devil is pleased with your progress in slowly following him. And that is indeed what we have had for a long time in the church today. As we sit there and try and see a time, this is a time when they talk about the church prospering. And these are the things that attend the church prospering, because the devil is going to steepen up his attack as the church prospers. Well, then it says in verse 20 that Helaman was a good chief judge, and he did what the Lord wanted to him. But note that he was not a great prophet, and neither was his father. But his father, they were great. They were men who were great in their standing up for liberty and the freedom of their people, and they did believe in God and so forth. But they were not great prophets. But we're not the people who should not expect to have a Messiah and a Alma and so forth always leading them. And again, it's up to the individual person to come unto Christ. It doesn't matter that it's not necessary for them to have the great leader all the time. Well, then it says that the sons of Helaman are Nephi and Lehi, and that they are men of the Lord, and they're raised up under the Lord. And we begin to see this, the foreshadowing of these. They are indeed great prophets of the Lord. Well, it says that there's great prosperity in the church, and this is even to the amazement of the high priests over the church. And it explains why they're having this great prosperity in verse 27. It says, in the sincerity of their hearts, they called upon his holy name, or they called upon Jesus Christ. In the sincerity of their hearts, this is why they had prosperity. This is how the people felt. It was in their hearts. It is so frustrating to keep repeating and pointing out, it was not because of their great leaders and because they followed the leaders of the church and they were staunch members of the church and active and all these other things. It was because in the sincerity of their hearts they called upon Jesus Christ. And it goes on to further say that the prosperity or righteousness was because of those who will believe on the name of Jesus Christ. And that they, again going on to verse 29, that they hold unto the word of God. Okay? And that word of God lead the man of Christ. It's not the active member, not the good follower of the leaders, the man of Christ. And I will repeat this forever, of how when they describe the true followers of Christ, they are always talking about him and the relationship that man has with Christ. They are not talking about his relationship with the church or with leaders. And it says that it will lead the man of Christ in a straight and narrow course across that everlasting gulf of misery which is prepared to engulf the wicked. What is that again? That gulf of misery is this life, and this life is a life of misery. And when we say it's a life of misery, what do we mean? We mean we're surrounded by misery. We're surrounded by the devil. We came to this life. We were sinners. As we were sinners, we learned and tasted of misery. We see misery all the time because we're not perfect. We feel this misery. We feel it around us. We feel it in ourselves. And we are trying to get out of it. That is the choice we're making in life, to recognize that the things of this world only lead to misery, whether it is the power of being a leader of the church, whether it's the gain of receiving things of the world, whether it's the praise and having the honors of men. All these things lead to misery, and they are misery, and we're fooling ourselves if we do not see where they're leading us, and that they do not have the true joy and happiness and love of Christ, and that we make that choice that we want Christ, that we have tasted of his love, and that is what we want, and we hold on to his hand through personal revelation. Follow him, do whatever he tells us to do to lead us through this life so that we can get out of this misery and live with him for all eternity. And that, again, is the description of the true members of the true followers of Christ and the true members of his church. Well, then it says that, I want you to remember what the true members of the church are, because we'll come back to that again in a second. But it says that then they had that this prosperity and peace lasts for several years, but then problems start again. And what are the cause of those problems? It's over and over again. It's pride in the church. It's not pride in the government amongst the people. It's when we begin to have pride in the church. Well, this is what begins to separate the true church from the professed church. And we learn in verse 33 that whenever the Book of Mormon talks about the Church of God, it's not talking about this physical organization that was set up. And that's where we have our error, is throughout the church, throughout the Book of Mormon, it talks about us being members of the Church of God, and that we should hold to the Church of God, and the Church of God grew. And we start thinking, and that is used obviously as a flattery by our church leaders to say, oh, look how wonderful things are, so you need to come under this physical church that we have made. And again, we will see in the Book of Mormon, we already saw a glimpse of that problem before, that when you start looking at it as a physical organization, looking at your growth, that becomes a stumbling block. That begins to be a barrier of your mind, because it says here the Church of God are the true followers of Christ. And this means that the true followers of Christ are not only in the church, but they are wherever they're people who have turned their hearts to Christ. And again, it says here that the pride was not into the Church of God, but into the hearts of the people who professed to belong to the Church of God. You see, there's a big difference between the Church of God and those professing to be in the church, which is that physical organization. How can you have members who profess to be members of the Church of God without having leaders who accepted that, who also have got pride in their hearts and go along with the same profession without truly doing what? What is then the difference? Without truly coming unto Christ, truly having their hearts turned to Christ, and it goes on then to explain this in verses 34 and 35, that it's actually the prideful become the ones who become the leaders, because they lift themselves up through their devices, the same devices that we've always learned of any kind of combination, meaning they start desiring power, so they use these things to lift those of pride get lifted up above others, they get positions, and so on and so forth. And what does that do? It says in 34 or in 35, it drives the true followers of Christ closer to Christ. And so then again, we learn that what is the distinguishing factor? Those who profess or not profess, who believe in going to Christ. These are the ones who make up the true church of God. Those who profess to be members of a church and not to be followers of Christ, meaning I don't say that they don't profess to be. I mean, they're obviously going to say, yes, we're followers of Christ also. But who do not have their hearts and they are not single to Christ, but they think that the importance is in the church of being a member of the church, they are not the true church of God. And that is the vast majority of the Mormon church to this in this day profess to be members of a church, do not profess to be true followers of Christ, and that means their focus and their sight is in the wrong area, as shown clearly here in the Book of Mormon. Well, then it goes on to say in verse 36 that they still had peace in the land, but the pride continued to grow. And why does it grow? Because of now of the riches that are in the land. So their hearts are on their riches, and we can begin to see we're getting very close in time. See, as I said, the people, even though the people are oscillating back and forth with to Christ, we are going through a degenerative, an overall, don't look at it period, an exact time, because people oscillate. But in general, we're going to through a degenerative time up until Christ comes. But understand that it is difficult to explain the word, the concept of degenerative, because at the same time, as a whole, the people are degenerating. The true followers of Christ are actually strengthening, as it says here again in verse 34 and 35. This degeneration process and this wickedness push the true followers of Christ closer to Him. So actually, we are developing an extremely strong church of God, and we'll learn that again. That's the true followers of Christ, and it's small amongst the people, but it is growing extremely strong. And that's what we're seeing in there, and so that's kind of the portion that we want to keep our eye on, so that we might, during the great thing, terrible things that happened during the last days, that we might search out, so that we might be members of the Church of God. And what is that church again? It is the true followers of Christ. So if we start looking for a church, we've got a problem. What we should look for is look for the Savior, look how we can develop a relationship with Him, and He will lead us to wherever He wants us, or to be, in order to be part of His church. Well, then it says that Helaman dies, and Nephi, his son, replaces him. Now, I would like to review this chapter, because a lot happened in it, even though it's short. And that says that, what we need to review is that notice that how quick pride will keep re-entering the church. Well, let's look at the church after it was organized in 1830 by Joseph Smith. That's what they kept having pride. They kept having men of position want to come in and have positions of power. And this kept causing all sorts of problems as the church moved across Ohio, Missouri, into Illinois. Notice how fast the church oscillated up and down with this pride, and then the Lord had to come in there and smack the church and re-humble them and try and get them straightened out. Notice how fast from 1830 till 1845 when they left Illinois, how many things happened. It's exactly the same as this, but this is what the sign of the honing of the people of God happens to them. But then notice when we get out to the Utah Territory, all of a sudden that was their last chance, and we have now had nothing but we've had relatively small persecution. We've still had persecution to hone things out a bit, but why did that stop? That is not the characteristic of the true Church of God. When we are true followers, we can expect to have these oscillating problems on a very short basis, every few years, and we haven't had it now for 125 years. And if you do not understand that, then you need to go back to 2 Nephi chapter 28 and recognize that it was talking to the church after Joseph Smith established it, or after the Book of Mormon came forth. That chapter is talking to the people, us, in that time frame. And we are really, again, as I'd like to point out, this Book of Mormon is written to us, and it is covering a period from the time of Joseph Smith, or the time of the coming forth of the Book of Mormon, till the Savior comes a second time. See, and that's how Mormon wrote the book. He was trying. He begins in the beginning by telling us what we should be and what we should do, and now we're covering through a period showing that we should be doing the same as they are doing. But notice that we're in a worse state than they are in Helaman chapter 3, because they're still oscillating. They're still back in the days of Joseph Smith, where they're honing down and pushing the true followers of Christ into their own net. And again, I say unto you, clearly, the true followers of Christ, the Church of God, is not and never has been the Mormon Church. It is a church, it is a group of people within the Mormon Church, and as we saw from other revelations from prophets, that there are other people in the world that belong to it, that are true followers of Christ. But that is what makes it up. It is not a physical organization. And I say we have been in degeneration in the church for 125 years. And we can see that because when we are strong, and when the leadership is strong, and when the people as a whole are strong, they keep having this vacillation. Now I get repeat to you, in Helaman 3, we are right at the time of the end of Joseph Smith's days, when he's about to die, and we'll give it, and the people are about on their last chance of this honing. Pretty soon now they are just slipping off into the continual wickedness, and without with only the oscillation being amongst individuals, and you'll